So our reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians 1, and it's verses 1 to 5. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. And Anna's going to come up and unpack that a little bit more for us.
Good morning, everyone. It's really good to be here with you this morning. It's a long time since I've been at Whitley Bay Baptist. I know John and Liz Hawksworth quite well. And back in 2017, I came and shared in an evening service. And as I look out today, there's some other familiar faces that I haven't seen for a little while. So it's really good to be with you. And thank you so much for having us here this morning. So Emma has helped us to begin to think about what it means for us to be part of God's safe family, and we're going to come back to that a little bit later. But first, I want to tell you about something that happened a few weeks ago. So maybe some of you in this room will have shared this experience. At the beginning of September, there was a group of us ran the Great North Run for safe families. And I don't know if you've ever run a half marathon before, but it felt pretty daunting. I was quite nervous. But it started out as a beautiful, sunny day. We were all absolutely boiling at the start line, waiting for the race to begin. And we ran the race with partial sun, partial cloud. It was perfect conditions. So after a long 3-hour walk / run, I finished the race with Emma. Me and Emma ran together, which I was very, very grateful for. And we crossed the finish line. We grabbed our medal. We grabbed our Great North Run t-shirt. We put them on. I started rummaging in my snack bag to find something tasty to refuel my body after the run. But things were good. I felt such a sense of joy and elation and achievement. And just like the thousands of other runners, we were stood together celebrating that we had managed to finish the race. And then all of a sudden, the clouds started creeping in. And I don't know if it was the same here at Whitley Bay, but it was like all of a sudden it was about to turn into nighttime. It was like the sun got switched off. It went so dark. And all of a sudden, a month's worth of rain fell in the space of an hour and a half. And the excitement and elation and joy of just finishing the race, well, for me, it disappeared as I stood freezing cold with my foil blanket wrapped around me for warmth, and my peace and my joy was completely disrupted. And I wonder, what are your peace disruptors? The things that steal your peace, that throw you off. I was certainly thrown off after that run by the giant thunderstorm that came after it. For me, my peace disruptors can be big or small things. They can be big things that are big things like a busy week, a health uncertainty, a bad driver. They can be small things like the time when I came home and my mom had changed the curtains in our living room without telling me that she was going to, and I immediately burst into tears and my peace was completely thrown off. There's so much that can threaten to disrupt our peace, And we see this in the wider world too. War, disaster, injustice, concerns about climate change, all disruptors of our peace. And I don't find it easy when my peace is disrupted. To be honest, I like to avoid the news. And if I'm really, really honest, I hope for an easy life and a comfortable life. But our passage today is from a letter written to the church in Corinth. And as I'm sure we may know, the early church was not a comfortable place. So 2 Corinthians, where we find our passage, it's written by Paul and found in the New Testament. And just picture this. Corinth is a wealthy, bustling port city in ancient Greece. It is a city that is diverse in cultures, in ideas, and it's busy. Paul started out as a zealous Jewish Pharisee, but after a powerful encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he became a passionate follower of Christ. And he went from persecuting Christians to planting churches and spreading the gospel. And we read in the Bible that the early church was established from the book of Acts right through to our passage in 2 Corinthians, that there had been much to disrupt their peace. There was persecution, there was disunity, jail sentences. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that he has experienced much pressure, much affliction, and much despairing. I find it so interesting that the early church was founded by those who'd been persecuted, tortured, and marginalized. They knew what it meant to have trials for their faith in Jesus. And this is the context of Paul's life as he writes this letter to the Corinthians. And knowing the hardship and the severity of Paul's struggle makes this passage of hope even more powerful for us. Because the struggle, the pressure, and the despair, it's not the whole story. And this is where we meet with good news. The good news of being part of God's safe family. In the midst of the challenges, Paul gives us great encouragement that God is at work and that this is a passage of healing, where Paul reminds us that we are comforted by God to be comforters. Emma read our passage for us earlier, so we'll just read verses 3 to 5 again if you have got your Bibles. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." And in verse 3, we see that Paul brings this praise and this worship to the God and Father of Jesus, and the Father of all compassion, and the God of all comfort. Paul knows that God is the source of compassion and comfort. And if this is the truth that Paul has found in his context, and being a follower of Christ in that world, I'm confident that it is still true for us today in our context too. And this is where it is the amazing gospel, the upside-down kingdom of God, that our comfort and our struggle can coexist. Struggle should have the last word. Despair should have the last word, but it doesn't. And Paul tells us here that is because we have a God who is the Father of compassion and a God of all comfort. And I want us to imagine that this isn't the comfort in terms of the image of a comfy chair that we plonk ourselves down in and sink into. But instead, as I was thinking about it, I imagine it more as the power and the peace of a really strong embrace when things are difficult. Imagine the comfort of being held in safety by an all-powerful God who sees us, who hears us and who understands us. And this image of compassion and comfort has given me a fresh sense of hope. When my peace is disrupted, God gifts us his presence. He is right there with us as our Father of comfort. And comfort in this context means the one who comes alongside to help. It is not just that God is passive. He is right there in the midst of all of life with us, holding us with a strong and powerful embrace, ready to give help. And I wonder if he wants to remind us of that promise today. We are being comforted by him. And Paul doesn't shy away from the struggle. We read in all of his letters that they are raw and open and honest. And in verse 5, he says, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." And I often find this a really challenging aspect of faith. It was true for Paul, and it's true for us today, that being part of God's family does not discount us from the struggles, which I find really hard. However, we join in the sufferings of Christ, and we know that the sufferings of Jesus were for our benefit, to bring new life, forgiveness, reconciliation. And it was part of God's plan to bring unity to all things through Jesus. Through Jesus, we are united with God to receive adoption into his family. Romans 8, verse 15 says, "The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." In biblical times, the context of adoption was that the adopted son was taken from his previous situation and placed into a new relationship with his adoptive father. He would have had a completely new life. Any old debts would have been cancelled. He was considered as any other child in the family. His old name would have been set aside, and a new name would have been given to him by his adopting father. And because of Jesus, and like Jesus, we are now able to call God Father. I wonder what you wrote on your paper of what it means to belong to God's safe family. Here are some of the things that we read throughout the Bible. When we are part of God's safe family, we are loved. We are gifted with the Holy Spirit. We are forgiven. We are given strength, peace, that we are in relationship with Jesus, who, it says in Isaiah, is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I don't know about you, but I definitely need someone like that. I need that presence in my life. And in my experience, these truths are clung to and lived to the full, particularly in times of struggle and difficulty. Because comfort is unnecessary where there is no difficulty. In being part of God's family, we call God Father, and so experience his fatherly characteristic of comfort. So whatever your circumstances are today, whether you're carrying something for you, whether you feel your peace being disrupted as you look around at what is going on in the world, there's such great hope and encouragement from Paul that God's response to suffering is the gift of comfort that holds us through our circumstances. We are comforted. Our Corinthians passage has a second encouragement in it too. In verse 4, it says, "Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." I'll just read it again. "Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And Paul encourages us that God's comfort is not just for our benefit, but we're comforted with a purpose. We are comforted to be comforters. And I picture myself as a jar, as a vessel, which is filled with God's comfort, but not just to be a holder of this comfort, but to share it with those around me. And there are no limits to God's comfort. He will not run out of comfort for us. This verse tells us that comfort comes to us for all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble. We are comforted to comfort others. We have been given to share with. And here there's that image of paying it forward, paying that comfort forward. God is creating in us comforters through the giving of his comfort. And I wonder what this would look like for us in our context, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, colleges, or universities, in this church family, and in our friendship groups. Maybe a question to ponder on over lunch or in prayer time. What does it look like for me to be a vessel of God's comfort to the people around me? There are so many ways that I can see this being put into action. The way we make people feel when they spend time with us, how we interact with those that we come into contact with, maybe how we spend our time, how we spend our money. And when I was thinking about our role as comforters, I initially felt like this sounded like quite a big responsibility. But as Paul has reminded us, comfort first comes from God to us, then flows through us to others. And I don't know about you, but I love a to-do list. My life is run on a to-do list. And in reading the passage and preparing the sermon, I would have almost wanted to just add to my to-do list for life, be a better comforter. But I'm aware that no amount of willpower will make me a better comforter. We're comforted by God to be a comforter. And so an encouragement for us to have that openness and waiting on the presence of God to receive the gift of his comfort, to me seems to be the first and most important part. And my prayer for us this morning is that we would know more of the fullness of God's comfort in our lives. We know, as we look around us and for ourselves, that the world is not as it was intended to be. And we have an invitation from God to participate in sharing that comfort for the benefit of others. At Safe Families, we see this in action day in, day out. And Ilse's already shared a little bit with us about what that looks like. Through small acts of love and kindness from our volunteers, we see God at work. There was a dad who was referred to us recently. His name's Mark. Mark is a parent to four amazing children, but unfortunately, Mark's wife passed away a few years ago. And so Mark was working. He was trying to support his family and take care of his children. He was trying to maintain his home whilst also processing his own grief and trouble. And he had a limited support network around him. Mark was going through a particularly difficult season, and he felt like he was going through it alone. So we were able to introduce Mark to one of our amazing Safe Families volunteers, Steve, who is a retired man in his mid-60s. And Steve started to spend a few hours every fortnight with Mark and his family. They went to the beach, they ate ice cream, they played Uno, they went to McDonald's quite a lot. And Steve also came alongside Mark as a friend. He offered a listening ear, a voice of encouragement. And through these small but powerful actions, Mark and his family found community again. They had a friend through a particularly difficult season. And our support with Mark has come to an end now. And I spoke with Mark recently about his support from Safe Families. And he shared that at the start of support, he'd been suffering with anxiety and depression, and that he didn't really want to associate with anyone. But that his volunteer, Steve, had become like a father figure to him. And he even said that they broke the mold when they made Steve. We spent some time with Mark's eldest daughter as well, and she shared that she loves that her dad now has a friend and that he is no longer lonely. She said that she no longer sits in her room on her own anymore, and that they are much happier as a family. Steve didn't need any special skills, unless you count Uno skills as a special skill, which some people might. But he was present, and he just offered a little bit of time, getting alongside a family in difficult circumstances. He shared comfort with them. He shared joy. And we see God at work through our volunteers and the glimpses of that transformation in the lives of the families we are supporting. Comfort for Mark looked like having a friend and knowing that he isn't alone. For a mum who has escaped a really difficult relationship, comfort has looked like the beginning of a new story where she found community and felt belonging for the first time in her life. For other families, comfort has looked like having a confidence for everyday life that wasn't there before, having the courage to ask for help when they need it, having a positive voice who speaks encouragement in their life when they have not had an encourager or met an encourager in their life before. Courage built, friendships made, connections made, and isolated individuals from this region discovering that they have people who they can trust, people who care. And this is the joy of Safe Families. And this is what we exist for. As Sarah said earlier, that no one would be alone because we believe that everyone deserves to belong. And there are many people, families, not far from here who don't know that truth in their lives. They might have never felt a sense of comfort, of a friend alongside, a listening ear. And we might be able to think of family or friends now who are so good at offering us that comfort that we've been talking about this morning. And this is why Safe Families exists. Our 2 Corinthians passage encourages us today that as part of God's Safe Family, we are comforted by a God of love who sees us, who hears us, and who understands us. And as we are comforted, we are invited to be comforters. And I wonder what that will look like for you. We're just going to spend a few moments in quiet, and I just encourage you to maybe spend a moment praying, asking God that question: what does it look like for me to be a vessel of your comfort? Or maybe just inviting God to give you a fresh sense of his comfort and presence this morning for whatever your circumstances and whatever you're going through. Or maybe you just want to jot down something that God has said to you today. So just have a few moments of quiet where I invite you to spend a few moments in prayer, and then I'll pray and we'll sing. God, we praise you because you are the Father of Jesus. You are our Father and the God and Father of all comfort. Thank you for the reminder today that you promise to be with us in all circumstances and that we can have hope because of the comfort that you give to us. And God, we thank you for family, our own family, whatever that looks like, for biological family, for friends who have become family, for our church family. But ultimately, God, thank you that you invite us to be part of your safe family and that you welcome us in because of your goodness and your grace. God, we lift to you the isolated and lonely families in our region. Thank you that you are the source of all comfort. God, for the areas of our world that are devastated by war, disaster, famine, thank you that you are the source of all comfort. God, for those who we know are suffering, disheartened, or struggling, we lift them to you and thank you that you are the source of all comfort. God, in the waiting for restoration, breakthrough, or change, thank you that you are the source of all comfort. God, I pray that you would fill us with your comfort and presence today and continue to shape us into comforters for the benefit of those around us. Amen.